Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Wednesday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be, across the nation or around the world. It's a delight to have you with us for another edition of Stand in the Gap Today, coming to you from the American Pastors Network, along with Sam Rohr and David Kistler. I'm Gary Dull. And just like we mentioned yesterday, there are a lot of things going on in the world around us today. And we are here in this particular setting, on this particular program, to do what we can to talk to you, to talk with you about these various issues from a biblical and from a constitutional perspective. We do want to encourage you to stay tuned today, because during the second segment, we're going to be having with us Honorable Mark Meadows. He, of course, is a congressman from North Carolina, the 11th District there. And we're going to be talking to him about what's going on down in the Congress right now, particularly as the result of John Boehner stepping down and all the chaos that's there. And Dave, I believe, if I understand it correctly, Mark Meadows is your congressman.
He is indeed, Brother Gary. He is our congressman. We're in the 11th District in the western part of the state of North Carolina. And I'll be honest with you, Gary, the people of his district, the people of the western part of the state, and really the entirety of the state, are just thrilled beyond belief at what Mark has done in really forcing this issue with Speaker of the House John Boehner. So I'm looking forward to our conversation today. It should be highly enlightening.
There's a lot that we can talk about, and folks, again, the news is just rolling right off of the reels. We will get into a discussion with Mark Meadows, as I said, in the second segment. But, Sam, it's very interesting what's going on between Russia and the United States of America, even as we speak. We have been told, and we know that it's fact, that Russia has begun airstrikes in Syria and has warned the United States of America to stay out. And, you know, as you have indicated, it looks like Russia is in the Middle East to stay. And very interesting to note that there was an article in the New York Post yesterday that indicated, well, they said this, and I quote, "The baton was officially transferred Monday to the world's new sole superpower, and Vladimir Putin willingly picked it up." That's kind of a sad statement, and what's even worse is that it's true, I believe, Sam.
Gary, what we are witnessing today is absolutely something that has been unimaginable to Americans, or to most people who've looked to the United States for so many years as the leader for freedom and liberty around the world. These last years under this administration have been witnessing, and everybody has been sensing it, and everybody's hoping and praying. I mean, I'm expressing my own opinion, but I think it's what people have been wishing for, is that somehow what we're seeing is not real, that it's not true, that it's that we're getting, you know, excited, overly excited about something that is not really happening. But gentlemen, what is taking place in this transfer of power, which this headline made very, very clear yesterday, is in fact exactly the way the world is seeing it. With this exit policy by this administration out of Afghanistan, out of the Middle East, it has created a gigantic void into which Russia has more than willingly wanted to jump, and they are there to stay. And today, just what's happening right now, there are a three-star general. It gives information to one of our ambassadors over there to tell the Pentagon to get our airplanes out of their airspace, because they're going to start doing some work, basically the work that we weren't doing. They've launched it. They've launched airstrikes from air bases, and now it's just coming across that they're also launching airstrikes from aircraft carriers and ships off the coast. They are into this big time. And now the Pentagon and the White House are out there saying, well, they're trying to determine how to respond to it. But, gentlemen, they've already walked away from this. And I think, as that article said, I think our president already has transferred the baton. I don't know that we could actually take them on now in the Middle East, because we've been so, how would I say, depreciated both in our equipment and in the number of manpower that are there, and I would say even more importantly, the will to win.
Hmm. Well, you know, it's sad. The article that we are referring to there in the New York Post went on to say, and I quote, President Obama embraced the ideals espoused by the United Nations founders 70 years ago, that diplomacy and international order will win over time, while might and force will lose. David, that is not absolutely true at all. I mean, you know, one of the things that strengthened us during the Reagan days was the very fact that he went in there and he built up the might and the force of the United States of America. And it was the fact that he built our armed forces that I think enabled us to be strengthened during that period of time. You know, this idea of just there's a place for diplomacy and there's a place for international order, but sometimes might and force is needed.
Well, Gary, absolutely it is. And maybe some of our listeners, you men, will probably remember as well, there was a very almost now iconic picture of our president set in direct juxtaposition to Vladimir Putin a number of months back. It had Putin, you know, on horseback with his shirt off. And then there was this picture of President Obama sitting on a tricycle wearing a bicycle helmet. And it portrayed Obama the way the world views him, certainly the way Putin views him, as a weak, insignificant player on the global stage. And so now we are seeing the literal focus of the two men and the two directly opposing approaches of these two world leaders. We're seeing it lived out on a very global Middle Eastern stage. And gentlemen, if I could say this, all you have to do is take a look at the map of that region of the world. And from a spiritual perspective, you understand completely what's going on. This country of Syria and Russia's involvement there is absolutely critical for what the Bible says is going to ultimately happen in Ezekiel 38, when Russia, Syria, some of these other nations, Persia, which is modern-day Iran, all come down against Israel in the end time. I believe, gentlemen, what we are watching is a significant advancement of that very biblical scenario taking place in front of our very eyes.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, Sam, even in light of that, you know, a while ago, our president, Barack Obama, said that he drew this red line in the sand as far as it related to Assad and Syria, and yet he's done nothing about it. My question to you, is he afraid of war, or does he have something else in mind?
Gary, he's not afraid of war, because he's been very willingly to use our men and our equipment to take out guys like Gaddafi in Libya and to go after Egypt. He has not been afraid to use our military to accomplish his agenda, but it happens not to be the agenda of the American people or our Constitution or what we are to do or be a part of as a leader of the free world. He is, though, I believe, strategically set about to dismantle the leadership of the United States and to transfer power, which is exactly, I think, what is happening. And this gentleman spells a great deal of hard, difficult situations for all of us in this nation. I'll just leave
it
there.
Well, it sure does. And folks, again, as we've said many times, if you've never prayed for the United States of America, right now's the time to do it. When we come back, hopefully we will have with us the Honorable Mark Meadows from North Carolina, who will be talking with us about what's going on down in the Congress right now, particularly in the House of Representatives, regarding the John Boehner situation. So don't go away. We will be back with more in just about 4 minutes, so stay tuned.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
7 times he came to America, preaching across the colonies, sometimes to crowds of over 30,000 people. This great awakening spread like fire. Benjamin Franklin not only attended his meetings and printed his sermons, but built an auditorium for him to speak in, afterwards donating it as the first building of the University of Pennsylvania. Who was he? George Whitefield, who died this day, September 30th, 1770. Of Whitefield's preaching, Franklin wrote, "It was wonderful to see. One could not walk through town in an evening without hearing psalms sung in different families of every street."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would make this your one and only project, you could change the country. But we can only make this change if we're willing to stand together. Learn more about federal Common Core and Pennsylvania Core standards and call your representatives today. Ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and to those of you joining us across the nation and around the world, we welcome you again to the program, and we are delighted to have with us Honorable Mark Meadows, who, of course, is a first-term GOP congressman from the 11th District of North Carolina. Congressman Meadows is a successful business owner. He has distinguished himself as an equally courageous and effective leader in Congress since he's been there. He's thoroughly constitutional and committed to upholding the highest of constitutional and biblical standards of ethics and justice. And he also happens to be Dave Kistler's congressman out of North Carolina. Honorable Mark Meadows, welcome to Stand in the Gap today. We are delighted to have you with us, sir.
Well, it's great to be with you. Thank you so much. God bless you and your listeners. And it's an honor to get to talk about a few things with you here live on the show.
Well, we're delighted to have you with us. Yesterday, we had former Congressman Tom DeLay with us, and of course, we are delighted to have you with us today to talk about what's going on down in the Congress, particularly with this idea of John Boehner stepping down and what's taking place even as we speak. I'm going to defer to one of your constituents, David Kistler, to begin the questioning. Dave?
Congressman Meadows, thank you so much for joining us. And I just want to say at the outset here how much we North Carolinians appreciate you, especially those in the western part of the state, the 11th District. And you, because of your decision to introduce this motion to vacate the chair, I believe you did that actually back in July. You have been called by Mark Levin, a courageous conservative. You were featured recently in an article by Jeffrey Lord in the American Spectator in their Profiles in Courage articles. And I agree with all of that. I think you have been incredibly courageous, and we greatly appreciate that. I want to ask you about this motion to vacate the chair. What was it that happened to cause you to be willing to take such a courageous move, such an internally unpopular move, to attempt to force the vote on the speaker, ultimately a vote that never occurred, but at least you were prepared to go that direction. And, of course, Speaker Boehner ultimately stepped down before that took place.
Well, thank you so much for not only your support and friendship, but for the kind words. And this motion to vacate was really an issue that, you know, after much prayer and thoughtful consideration, hearing from many people across my district of Western North Carolina, but across the country, who said that Washington, D.C. no longer represented their views. We were not willing to fight on behalf of the things that are important to moms and dads on Main Street. And I've often said, even if it sent me home, I needed to stand with the people that sent me to D.C. And so it was not popular here in Washington, D.C., but I can tell you that when we put it in, it started to be contagious, and a number of people started to say, yeah, we need to look at it, either a different speaker or a different process for the current speaker to get involved with. And so we now know that that momentum started to build. The speaker made a decision, a courageous decision on his part, to step down and say that you know, he believes that a different leadership and a different direction is what the American people want. So, you know, continue to pray for us, your listeners, if they would, because, you know, the threats and the barbs are still real. But I do believe that that ultimately we'll be able to see a change and hopefully reclaim America for everyone across the country.
Congressman Meadows, this is Sam Rohr, and I'd like to follow up on the question. Again, we're so glad to have you with us, and I know it's a first term. Particularly congressman, to do what you did required a great deal of courage, and we thank you and commend you for that. Now, though, that the speaker has announced his resignation, and a lot of comments as to why, and I'm not going to ask you to comment on why you think he ultimately did, unless you want to. I want to go directly to the next step, his replacement. Certainly, the current majority leader, Congressman McCarthy, is running for it, and generally majority leaders in this kind of thing have a odds-on favorite from that perspective, a very key position from which they can lobby and whip the members. But will the conservative group that is there in the House, you can tell us how many that may be, but are they going to be at this point satisfied for just a change in speaker or a change in philosophy and approach? In other words, are you all going to settle for an establishment-type speaker, or we'll clear the decks and get someone who's really constitutionally driven and biblically based?
That's a great question, and I think it's still in flux right now. I can tell you it comes down to a number of votes and where the votes are, and really the American people. Are they going to weigh in with their member of Congress and suggest a change? I can tell you that it's not as much personality-driven as it is process-driven. And you mentioned some things that we need to return to our constitutional foundation, those values and biblical Judeo-Christian values that are important to all of us, and yet somehow they get lost here in Washington, D.C. And so whomever the next speaker or leader or leadership team is, they're going to have to be committed to that. Now, the problem is it's a function of trust. And just to move up the current leadership and say that, well, Speaker Boehner is gone and now we've just moved everybody up a slot, is not what the American people want. It's not what I support. And so I can tell you that there's a real, in fact, I leave from talking with you guys to a meeting where we're talking and trying to strategize on who can we get, who are the best candidates, who are the ones that will return to those fundamental principles. And so I think it's not enough just to say we move everybody up, because then the issue was really more about Speaker Boehner, and it's more the process and returning to our founding principles that I think all of America wants.
Glad to hear you say that, because I believe that's what the American people are wanting, and certainly God has put you all there for such a time as this. We need a change of values, change of directions, people who understand what the oath is all about, who God is, all of those things so important. So we will be praying and watching as you go forward here. Gary?
Thank you.
Absolutely, Congressman Meadows, and this is Gary again. It seems to me as though many people are not aware that the speaker is really not constitutionally required to be a current member of Congress. And with all that's going on in Congress these days and the fact that there is such a low respect for Congress by the American people, are you and the others there potentially considering someone from the outside? Maybe it could be a former member of Congress or something like that. Is that something that has been talked about, or could it potentially be spoken of, do you think?
Well, it's interesting you say that, and a lot of people are not aware of that. But those types of conversations have actually been taking place here on Capitol Hill, some as recent as just an hour or two ago, where different people who have either previously served or potentially, one of the presidential candidates that is maybe not polling as well, that has a good track record on being a principled leader. In reality, I don't see that happening, primarily because all the allegiances start to form here in Washington, D.C., and getting an outsider, while it would be tremendously popular, functionally, everybody's pledging allegiance to this person or that person here on Capitol Hill. You mentioned our approval rating. To put it in a context, I think we're 1 point lower than a cockroach. And so, it's time that we do something and change.
That's
Congressman
low. Dave?
Yeah, Congressman Meadows, this is Dave. You made a statement in a recent interview to Breitbart News, and I love this statement. I'd love for you to take maybe the next 30 seconds before we have to let you go just to comment on it. You said it's better to have the people at my back than Washington, D.C. in my pocket. Well, that's a classic statement. I'd love for you to comment on that.
Well, it really gets back to the power of Washington, D.C. needs to derive its power from the people, and not from lobbyists and big money interests that controls the legislative agenda. And if I can always count on having those people really at my back, campaign contributions disappear, but that's okay. And that's really what I meant by that. I'm going to stand with the people, even if it makes it difficult in other ways.
Well, Congressman Meadows, it's just been a delight to have you with us. We know that you have to go, but as a Christian who places obedience to biblical truth and duty to your constitutional oath above the deals and the threats that often take place down there, we want to say that here at the American Pastors Network, we really do appreciate you. We will pray for you. And if there's any way that we can ever serve you, don't hesitate to contact us.
Well, thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you. And we'll pray for you as you go to that very important meeting that you're going to be having in just a few minutes. So thank you, Congressman Mark Meadows. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we need to take a break, but when we come back in about 3 minutes, we will continue our discussion on today's edition of Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. So don't go away too far. We will be back right after these messages.
The first U-Turn conference sponsored by the American Pastors Network was a life-changing experience for pastors and Christian leaders throughout Pennsylvania and beyond. Now we have the opportunity to take this conference across America. A matching gift offer for $30,000 will be doubled to $60,000 in order to bring U-Turn events to many more states in 2016. All gifts made through September 30 will be doubled. Visit AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and go to the Donate button to make your immediate gift to equip pastors and all believers to stand in the gap for truth.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. The American and Russian militaries are now launching airstrikes in Syria.
Russian military jets struck vehicles, warehouses, and positions the Kremlin says it believes belong to ISIS. The Pentagon questions that, saying the strikes hit areas where ISIS has no presence, instead targeting locations home to opposition fighters battling Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's regime, which Moscow supports.
Fox News Radio's Jessica Gallagher. U.S. officials tell Fox the Russians requested that U.S. military jets leave Syria, a request noted and denied. A police officer has been shot and killed at a mall in Forest Acres, South Carolina. Police responded to reports of a suspicious person now in custody.
Officer Gregalia encountered the individual in a struggle. During the struggle, this individual drew a handgun and shot Officer Leah.
That's Chief Marion Seeley. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Working for you. Tri-state area, streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
From the Pennsylvania Family Council, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Two major issues we're focused on right here in Pennsylvania, the sanctity of life and religious freedom, are front and center in Harrisburg. As the budget impasse drags on, there remains an opportunity to make the case to defund the abortion giant Planned Parenthood and to shift those state dollars to community health care centers that provide comprehensive care to the needy without any entanglement with abortion or the harvesting of body parts, as Planned Parenthood does. Meantime, the so-called Fairness Act being considered by the legislature is a major threat to religious freedom, and we need your help to stand against it. You can find out more about both these issues at our Citizen Action Center, which can be found on our website at pafamily.org. And while you're there, you can also check out our upcoming Friends of the Family Banquet, featuring noted author and radio host Eric Metaxas. Again, you can find out more about the issues and about our banquet at pafamily.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for staying by the radio or the computer there, along with Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr. I am Gary Dull, and we are delighted to have you with us. We encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap Radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, because there you can learn about the other two radio programs we produce. You can learn about your hosts, and you can also correspond with us, and we would certainly appreciate that. In addition, if you go into territory where you cannot pick up the signal for the program on a particular radio station, you can listen to us live on that website. And of course, what it does is actually connect you to our anchor station, which is WFYL in the Philadelphia area. But go to that website and take a look at it. It's www.standinthegapradio.com. We'd love for you to do that. And, you know, during the break, ladies and gentlemen, we were monitoring the news, and it just appears as though Russia is really lowering the boom over there in Syria. The report that is out there says that Russia is bombing what they believe to be buildings that belongs to ISIS. And, Sam, you know, we talked a little bit during the first segment how that it appears as though Barack Obama has placed the baton of the strong super power leader to Putin. And, you know, we've been talking about ISIS. The whole world has been talking about ISIS for years. Barack Obama has said many times that he was going to – he had a red line and he didn't want Assad or ISIS or anybody else, for that matter, to step over it. But he's done very, very little with it. We know ISIS is growing by leaps and bounds. And, you know, if Putin and Russia goes in and does blow up not only these buildings that supposedly belong to ISIS, but also if Russia stops ISIS, then there's no doubt about it. But Russia will be recognized as the number one superpower on the face of the earth, maybe the only superpower on the face of the earth with the courage to do anything to stand against that which is wrong and wicked. What do you think, Sam?
Well, Gary, I think that's partially correct, if not all correct, with the addition of a couple of things. One, what Putin has very wisely done in outmaneuvering our president is that he's called his bluff. Our administration has been saying the enemy is ISIS, the enemy is ISIS. Putin says, well, frankly, you helped to create ISIS. And if you say that ISIS is the objective, and you've been trying to engage this battle with ISIS, and you are not successful, and you say that it's going to go on forever, then we're just going to come in and say, well, then we'll just get rid of them. And we'll prove to the world that you basically really didn't want to get rid of ISIS. You were just talking about it. And now what that fleshes out is that in the end of the day, getting rid of ISIS in its various forms is not really what this administration is all about. What they've all been about is getting rid of Assad and the leader in Syria. And that is what Russia is not going to permit. So now there's a little bit of – now what's the what did the United States do? If they don't help to get rid of ISIS, theoretically, well, then it's proof to the world that it was all a joke to begin with. And so even right now, just coming across the wires, that U.S. airplanes are kind of going over there to kind of do some of the bombing that Russians are. I mean, this is a crazy mixed-up world, Gary and Dave. But I think they're calling the bluff of our president. And in the process of all of this, I think what happened, you know, a year ago when the moral leadership of the world, as many of those in the press said, was transferred from our president, our president position, to Putin in Syria when he drew the red line that Sandy referred to and refused to honor it. I believe right now this baton that the New York Post talked about being transferred is the military baton. And you put both of those together, gentlemen, the historic leadership role of this nation has been severely, severely undercut by our president, and we have yet to see the full impact of what's taking place.
You know, Dave, it's interesting what's going on over there. The New York Post yesterday reported that Obama, you know, spoke somewhat vaguely about future joint air attacks on ISIS along with Russia. Of course, you know, there was no real agreement established for that. And, Sam, you know, you just mentioned that our planes are flying around over there now. You know, you know, we are talking about chaos in Washington and in the Congress. Sure. There's chaos going on over there, too, beyond our imagination. But Dave, you know, yesterday, I believe it was, Putin basically said to the United States of America, stay out of Syria. Stay away from there. Let us do what we're going to do. Now that we've heard that the United States has planes over there, Dave, can you think in your broadest imagination that Russia might start knocking our planes out of the sky? And if so, then what?
Well, Gary, should that happen, and I personally, I don't believe at this point that is something that's going to happen, certainly not in the near future. Now, I could be wrong on that. But the fact of the matter is this, Gary, if that were to happen, we would be placed in an incredibly vulnerable position. Our military has been depleted. The president has done an incredibly successful job at that. We have to do something. We have to have planes in the air. Otherwise, our president looks incredibly, incredibly inept and incredibly, incredibly weak. So we have to do something. But Sam nailed it on the head. The goal for our administration has never been stopping ISIS. It's been deposing Assad. That has been the goal the entire time. But if you look at it in the larger context, and gentlemen, this is what's so exciting in many, many ways. When you look at it in a biblical and a prophetic context, you see the rise of Russia. You see this emerging relationship that Russia has with Iran. You see all of that in light of Ezekiel 38. And I know we keep talking about that, but this is so important for our listeners to understand. This could be the very jump-off point for these nations mentioned in Ezekiel 38 to literally be glued, cemented together in their common hatred against the nation of Israel. We could be seeing the beginning process of that taking place. So this is beyond significant. It's something I never dreamed in my wildest imagination that I would see in my lifetime, but here it is.
Sam, your comments.
And Dave, I would agree with you, because what's taking place is that it's been very clear from those who understand geopolitically what's happening. You have Russia, who ultimately has their designs on Israel. They want to control the energy. They want the oil, ultimately, of Saudi Arabia. They want the oil that's been identified and the gas that's been identified in Israel. They want what is there. They're putting themselves in a position so as to get it. Now, be aware also that China has their aircraft carrier there, and they are also participating. Why does China want to be in the Middle East? Well, they want, because they want resources, and they want to make sure that anything that's picked up there on the ground in the Middle East, they are there as a part of it. But they also now are in league, in an alliance with Russia and Iran, and they're all working together. Common enemy, Israel, and common goal, control of resources so they can control the world. And they also, gentlemen, are coming together monetarily because they want to destroy the dollar. They want to drive a stake into the heart of the Western world, including the United States, because we've dominated Saudi Arabia because of the dollar reserve currency status. They've already been working on a replacement. Gentlemen, we are not far off from seeing them pull that trigger. That's going to undercut our dollar, because we have no mechanism to enforce any longer the strength of our dollar, either in will or in moral leadership or in military support. We've walked away from all of our agreements with all of those in the Middle East, including Israel, including Saudi Arabia, with which we've had some agreement. We're walking away and handing the keys to control economically and energy to these foreign nations, and it happens to be this Ezekiel 38 thing you're talking about, Dave. It's incredible to behold.
It is indeed. And Sam, Gary, I cannot recall a time in the history of the United States, taking the prophetic component out of it, just from a historical perspective, has there ever been a time when atrocities like have been occurring across Iraq and Syria have taken place and America has surrendered the position of moral authority to another nation, especially a nation like Russia? This is absolutely unprecedented. And all of this, this moral surrender has been literally led by Barack Obama, and he's taken our nation down this path. This ought in and of itself to cause Americans, freedom-loving Americans, to be incensed out of their mind.
Dave, well, can I throw into that one other comment, Gary? I'm sorry. This is treasonous activity. Think about it. The Clintons and their operations and their policies, the John Kerrys of the world, this administration, these entities have been for a long time surrendering the distinctiveness and the moral leadership of this nation, and it's in fact they have moved towards transitioning and passing it over. Gentlemen, this is far more than ineptitude.
And ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, I want to share with you what is the most important thing of all in light of what we've been talking about here as it relates to what's going on between the United States and Russia over in Syria. We've talked about Ezekiel and the fulfillment of prophecies, but there is something that's extremely important above and beyond all things. Stay tuned. We'll be bringing that out when we return.
A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage their wealth and efficiently pass it on to their children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
In 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul gave critical counsel, important for Timothy and applicable to us. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The Apostle Paul said, as a believer, you've been saved and called. You've been given great responsibility as a preacher, teacher, and soldier. He said, the calling is divine. The opposition is demonic. In fact, perilous and frightful times will come, expect it. But be strong, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power. He said, God has not made us to be fearful or afraid during unsettling times. To the contrary, He's given us the spirit of power, the power to successfully encounter foes and dangers, the power to bear up under trials, the power to triumph in persecution. Therefore, he said, don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ and the gospel. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network reminding you, in the face of danger, go forward in the strength of God's power.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
There are over 42,000 cyber school students in Pennsylvania.
Miss Philadelphia 2015 was a 2009 graduate of Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. Athletes, actors, musicians, scholars, and community leaders appreciate the flexible schedule cyber school offers so they can pursue their passions, become independent learners, critical thinkers, and empowered leaders. Learn more today. Visit www.palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785. That's www.palcs.org for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School.
PA Leadership Charter School. Lead, don't follow.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The Resource Library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. You know, if you are a regular listener to Stand in the Gap Today, you realize that we talk about all sorts of issues. And the purpose of this particular program is to talk about all sorts of issues from the biblical and the constitutional perspective. In other words, what we attempt to do is to see what's going on in the world around us and present what those issues are, and then what does the Word of God say, what is the biblical worldview, and how should we respond to it governmentally as it relates to our United States Constitution. But you know, as before we left the last segment, I mentioned that when we came back, we were going to talk to you about the most important thing in all of this. It makes no difference what's going on down with, Congress and the Senate and what's going on over in Syria. When I say it makes no difference, it does make a difference. But the most significant thing, ladies and gentlemen, is your personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we talk about prophecy, and Dave and Sam have been very clearly bringing out what's going on over in the Middle East and how that relates to Ezekiel's prophecies and other prophecies, and certainly we are seeing prophecy being fulfilled all around us. The fact that these prophecies are being fulfilled all around us should cause each and every one of us to look to our own lives. First of all, for those of us who are believers, 1 John chapter 3 reminds us that we need to be looking at our own lives, because the concept of the fulfillment of prophecy and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is that which will keep us pure and spiritually ready to meet the Lord, so that we will hear Him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." To those who are not saved, the fulfillment of prophecy, as we see taking place all around us today, should challenge us and encourage us, or should challenge those of you and encourage those of you who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior to come to the saving knowledge of truth. Why? Well, as we study the Bible, the next great thing to occur on God's prophetic time clock is the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about that. And that's where the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ will come in the clouds of the sky and will shout forth, probably saying something like, "Come up hither." The voice of the archangel will be heralded. The trump of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's what we refer to as the rapture. It could happen before we say amen to this radio program today. For those of us who know the Lord Jesus, we will go up yonder into heaven to be with the Lord Jesus. Those who do not know Christ will go into a 7-year period of time referred to as the Great Tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, that will be a time of trouble on the earth such as never before. It'll be a time when God's judgment will be meted out on the earth, and God will even use the devil to pour out His wrath upon the face of the earth. Israel ultimately will get right with God. There will be many people who do not know Christ come to Christ. But as we study the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, it appears that if you've heard the gospel now and have rejected it, that after the rapture happens and the Great Tribulation sets in and the Antichrist comes on the scene, you will no doubt believe a lie, and you will follow the way of the Antichrist rather than the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, which means that not only will you come under the wrath of God in the Great Tribulation period, but ultimately go into the wrath of God, into the eternal lake of fire, separated from God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And so we, Dave and Sam and I, just want to challenge you to look at your life. It's exciting to talk about what's taking place prophetically. It's a concerning thing. But as we've also emphasized many times on this particular program, even though we are living in serious times, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ recognize that we are living in exciting times because we need to keep looking up. When I conclude this program by saying, keep looking up, the best is yet to come, that means that Jesus could come at any moment. He could. He really could. And my question to you right now is, are you ready for the return of Christ? Take a look at your life. If you can't find a time when you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would encourage you to do so right now. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To be saved means to be delivered from sin, its power, its penalty, and its presence through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Will you call upon the name of the Lord and ask Him to save you? If you do, then you will be delivered from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10 clearly tells us that through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, He has delivered us from the wrath to come. And now as believers, we are waiting for Him to come from heaven. It could be today. Don't just get caught up in the news items of the day, whether it's what's taking place in Congress or what's taking place over in Syria. Yes, I believe Christians do need to be focused on those things. I've often said to young people, you ought to every day read the Bible and watch the news. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, it's easy to get caught up in these things and miss out on the most significant thing. And that is making sure you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I would encourage you right now, right there by the radio, by the computer, to take a look at your life. And if you find that you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, call upon His name. Ask Him to save you. You can say something as simple as this if you mean it. Lord Jesus, I trust You to save me, and He will. And if you do that, contact us here at the American Pastors Network, and we will do what we can to send you information that will help you to get started right in our Christian life. You can correspond with us by going to the Stand in the Gap radio site, www.standinthegapradio.com. I would encourage you to do that. I pray that you will do that. In light of everything that's going on in the world around us today, you need the Lord. Now, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, live for the Lord. Stand for the Lord. Fulfill your responsibility as being salt and light. The Bible tells us that the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. We must uphold the truth. If you are a pastor, preach the Word of God without compromise. But if you're one who has never trusted Christ, without Christ, there's no hope. But with Christ, there's the hope of heaven, an eternal inheritance. And my challenge to you today, along with Dave and Sam, is call upon the name of the Lord and ask Him to save you right now, and He will. And then begin to watch for the return of Christ and begin to put everything that's taking place around us into the perspective of the biblical worldview. We'll pray for you that you'll come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. The Lord willing, if Christ does not come again in the clouds of the air, we will return in 23 hours. Until then, keep looking up, because we know the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.